Tired of the same old hot takes and sports cliches? Want a fresh perspective on the world of sports? Then tune into the Fade Route with DNZ, the podcast that's changing the game. Every Wednesday, DNZ bring you insightful analysis.
I would argue that that group would be better set in a West Coast offense.
Hilarious banter.
See, people came here for a baseball game.
And a whole lot of fun. Coming at you from the AO Studios. Listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The Fade Route with DNZ. It's not just a podcast, it's a lifestyle.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route tonight, we have the announcer for the Hudson Valley Renegades, and many others, host of The Clubhouse, The 4 p.m. Break, The Meet the Beatles on 1490 WGCH, broadcast instructor at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and diehard Yankee and Steeler fan, Rob Adams, everybody. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Is there anything you don't do? I mean, do you do kids' birthday parties? Else is going on?
You know, that's a great question. Not necessarily kids' birthday parties, but if I get asked to do, you know, a kids' sporting event, yeah, I'd probably go and broadcast it. I have a blast doing whatever I can, and if it makes people happy, that's my goal.
That's great. Well, you have the greatest broadcast voice. If I could have you record my answering machine on my phone, I would.
I would happily do it. That's like something my hero Vin Scully would have done, so why not?
Yeah.
We got to get on Cameo, well, Rob. We got to get you doing cameos.
Okay.
All right, so we'll start you off with this. As an announcer for the Hudson Valley Renegades, you've had the opportunity to see some of the Yankees' top prospects up close in 2024 and 2025. Top prospect George Lombard Jr. had a couple of cups of coffee with the Renegades. What were your takeaways from watching him, and when can we expect him in the Bronx?
I thought he looked really good in Hudson Valley. The defense was there. The offense is clearly there as well. Look, it wouldn't surprise me, especially as Ryan McMahon continues to struggle, it wouldn't surprise me if it was sooner rather than later, because he can easily move over to third base. You can run with Volpe at shortstop. I know that's not ideal, but that's what you can easily do. Volpe at short, move Lombard Jr. over to third. Maybe you build a nice little left side of the infield there, but I can see it. If it doesn't happen this year, then I think it's got to happen in 27. The tools are there for sure.
I would assume it's a numbers game at this point. You know, they want to keep him down for as long as possible before bringing him up. That's got to be it, because like you said, I've seen him play too. He seems to be super talented. He seems to be ready to play in the big leagues.
Couldn't agree more. He had that thing. Now, here's the scary part about that. Volpe had that thing as well. I saw it with my own eyes in 21, 22. I got to see him as a Renegade in 21, and I thought he was a can't miss, and there have been obviously big misses with Anthony Volpe. There have been some nice moments, World Series home run, all those kinds of things, but the inconsistency, definitely a problem. The defensive miscues, definitely a problem. So what we see at the minor league level doesn't always translate. I'm still holding out hope for Volpe, and I'm holding out big hope for George Lombard Jr. I think he's going to be tremendous. And by the way, if you guys have not seen it, since we're talking about the Hudson Valley Renegades, they're picking up a couple of big names to pitch later this week. Garrett Cole will pitch Thursday, and a guy named Carlos Rodon will pitch on Friday in Hudson Valley.
That's awesome. I mean, we could definitely talk about Anthony Volpe all day long. I mean, I'm of the mindset that it comes down to maybe coaching or maybe what he's trying to do I think he just needs to try to get on base, stop with the home run garbage, just get on base and steal bases. That's what I think his job should be. I don't think he should be trying to swing for the fences. He strikes out way too much, and that just gives me the impulse that he's trying to overachieve. He's trying to do too much. Hit the ball on the ground, beat it out, hit it in the holes. It's just simple hitting things, I think, would help him out.
How much of that is organizational philosophy, though, at this point? Like, how much of it's him and how much of it is the Yankees?
I don't know. And that seems like that might be the issue, right? Is that he's doing what they want him to do. He's just not executing it the way they want him to execute. And that's why probably they haven't tried to trade him. They haven't sent him down, which I think would have really helped him. I really think it would have helped him if they would have sent him down. You know, just retool. It's not a bad thing. Mickey Mantle got sent down. You get sent down sometimes. You got to work on some things. It's not a big deal. You know, and expectations is you're a professional and you're going to come back up and you're going to fix whatever the problem was. But seems like Cashman holds him a little too close in regard. I don't know what's going on there.
You know, you bring up Mantle getting sent down, and obviously we're talking, you know, 75 years ago, 1951, but it kicked Mickey Mantle in the fanny. It really reset his career because he was sent down and he was feeling sorry for himself, and his father came and said, I'm going to pack your bags, you know, take you home. We'll throw you in the mine. You're not going to be a ball player. And it made Mantle change his everything. And Mickey Mantle went on to, obviously, a legendary Hall of Fame career.
Pretty sure they won the World Series that year, too, I think.
Sure did, over a team that in the Giants had won the pennant famously with a big home run.
Right. So it's not the end of the world. But to the current roster, which boasts six of the Yankees' top 30 prospects, according to MILB.com. Who has impressed you so far? And is there a name Yankee fans may not know that they should know?
You know, I think the first name that comes to my mind, there's a pitcher named Pico Khan that I would keep an eye on. Now, he's on the injured list right now, so obviously that's a concern, but I've been impressed with him. I think he's got good stuff. I think it can translate to the majors. Obviously, you know, at high A, it's hard to automatically assume you're going to make the big time. But Hudson Valley was, at one time, a short season, low A franchise. Back in the days under the Rays and even the Texas Rangers, you didn't stand a good chance of seeing those guys make the major leagues. They were just nice ball players. Once in a while, you'd see a first-round draft come up. He might get a little playing time, and then he'd be gone. You'd get an Evan Longoria who would hit balls basically to Albany from there. It was incredible. But you don't get that very often in the rookie, the low A, you know. But those days are gone, and they don't allow their short seasons anymore. So now at high A, you're seeing guys that are going to make it. So I do think that, you know, Pico Khan is one, if he can get healthy, one, I think, a name that you can keep an eye on for sure.
Okay, that's exciting. So over to the big club, as the Yankees are in the thick of the AL East race, Ben Rice and Aaron Judge have carried the offensive load, while Max Fried, Cam Schittler, and Will Warren have been effective on the mound. However, unlike the National League, no team in the American League is truly out in front of the competition. So who needs to step up so the Yankees can take it to the next level?
Well, I think you need your stars to be stars. Judge's batting average early on concerned me. He tends to be a slow starter. Is he still going to give you your numbers? Yes, but you can't afford for him to not give you the numbers. So you still need to have what is becoming just an off-the-charts career. I mean, you think about it with Aaron Judge. He keeps hitting the ball the way that he does. You're going to start putting him in a category where we're not only talking 400 home runs, but keep talking with 5 and 6 and, dare I say, even 700 home runs for this guy. That's what
Rob,
he has.
I want to put you on the spot.
Go ahead.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Go ahead.
Is he the best right-handed hitter of our generation?
It's hard to say that when Albert Pujols existed, okay. You know, guys like that.
Could you put him on that level? He could get there and pass there. And Manny Ramirez type name, like Jimmy Fox was a good right-handed hitter, but I can argue that he's passed Jimmy Fox with his OPS. Like, he's a home run power hitter. Like, he's a problem.
And let us not forget a guy named Hank Aaron either, who obviously was an amazing right-handed hitter. Insane ball player. But I do think staying in this generation, in this era, I think Judge is on an amazing trajectory. He stays so balanced. He kind of lets the noise go over his head. He has a coolness about him that is so impressive. And look, if A-Rod had kept his nose out of the stupidity he got himself into, that's a whole different conversation.
Sure.
Right.
Judge is in that conversation to be the greatest right-handed hitter we've ever seen.
Yep.
Yeah. And we've never had that sniff of impropriety with him. But, I mean, when we're thinking about this, right, like Bellinger needs to start hitting to the back of his baseball card. But the left side, that left side of the infield, I don't know. Because you got Caballero, you have Rosario, you have McMahon, you have Volpe coming back. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. And how long do you stick with Ryan McMahon? I know you traded for him last year. Like, I don't know what the plan
He's doing what you brought him here to do. He's a Gold Glove infielder, right?
Yep.
Who is moving in the lineup?
Yeah, exactly. No, moving back to your question, because I don't want to ignore that. I brought up Judge. Bellinger, to me, is a big piece. Giancarlo's got to stay healthy. What are the odds? But Grisham, can Ben Rice keep this up? He has played at such a nutty level, and I got to see him at Hudson Valley, too. He was impressive there, and I hope he keeps it up because he's such a grounded, good dude. Austin Wells isn't giving you enough. I think that's a big thing. You need more behind the plate. You need more from Austin Wells, for sure.
Well, what about moving Rice behind the plate and then going to get a first baseman? Because Rice had a couple cups of coffee of catcher last year.
Yeah.
And he wasn't bad, but he's learning on the job.
Yeah, exactly. He is learning on the job. I think pitchers like throwing to Wells, so that's part of it. You have to have that relationship with a pitching staff, and I think the guys do like Wells. I think they like Rice, too. Rice is a very grounded guy, so I think you've got options there. But why is Paul Goldschmidt on this team if he's not going to play? And he has barely played at all.
And what about, you have Grisham playing center field hitting 167. I'm pretty sure Jason Dominguez can do that, right? I mean, could we call up Jason Dominguez, and could he be just a center fielder? I don't understand... why they're killing this guy.
Can we stop with these guys we're burying in the minor leagues? Jason Dominguez going, all the way back to Jabba Chamberlain and the way they jerked
him
around.
They're Clint Frazier-ing this guy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Jason Dominguez was supposed to be on a different planet, a.k.a. his nickname, the Martian.
The Martian,
yeah.
And we have seen the slightest glimpses of it. Can we see some more, please?
Rookie card still going for $450, which I don't understand.
Amazing.
But okay.
And when are we going to see Spencer Jones up here? Like, what is the deal? Why are we hiding this guy? Is he Sid Fee? What's the story?
Didn't strike out enough?
That's the problem. Spencer Jones, when he hits it, oh, it's a thing of beauty. The problem is there's a lot of swing and miss in there.
But if you're not going to bring him up and you're not going to trade him, what are we doing?
What's the deal?
Yeah.
What's the deal? I agree. I think he's a guy that needs to also get a look sometime, and I would say sometime this year. Let's stop beating around the bush. Get him up here and let's see, because he's already proven he could do it at single A, at double A, at triple A. Let's go.
Right, because he is what he is at this point, right? It's not like he's just going to stop striking out, right?
For sure.
This doesn't happen overnight. And it's just part of his game. It's part of what he is. I mean, what at best case scenario, he's a 260 hitter, right, you would say?
I would say that. I don't think he's Judgian in that he's going to win a batting crown, but he's Judgian in the way he can hit a home run.
260, 30 home runs, 80 to 90 RBI, right? That's what we're looking
at. Come on, you'd sign for that right now.
Right.
In this day and age of Major League Baseball, you would sign on for 230, 20, 95, but you'd have to live with 150 strikeouts. Like, that's kind of where you are in Major League Baseball right now.
It makes me crazy. I don't like strikeouts. I know it's part of the reality of modern baseball, but I do not like strikeouts. To me, it's a wasted at-bat.
Check out part 2 of our interview with Rob Adams later this week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.